Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called his church through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, with three commands. And those three commands are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In these three commands, all of the word, all of the law and the prophets, everything from Genesis to Revelation has been summed up. And as we give ourselves unto the Lord, learning what it means to be biblically in love with our Lord, biblically in love with our neighbors, and then biblically going with that very word, we are transformed and thereby the world transformed. I'd like to welcome all of you folks here on internet land and give you an introduction to the gentleman who's going to be speaking today. Again, as I made earlier, one of my dear friends, known Jim for over 25 years, and he is our national minister of the Evangelical Association, to which we are a part of. We're not a denomination. The Evangelical Association is simply a grouping together of churches and pastors in a like-mindedness that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they have come out of the Evangelical Reformed Congregational and Christian Churches, hence the name, the Evangelical Association of Reformed and Congregational Christian Churches. That's a mouthful. But Jim is our minister, and to him I acquiesce this day to bring a message on our dedication Sunday. And without further ado, my dear friend, Reverend Barnes.
Thank you. It's easy to remember the Evangelical Association's full name. You can just wrap it up in one word, earache, E-A-R-C-C-C. But it is a great opportunity to be able to share with you on this very special day as you celebrate your new facilities here for the Heart of Christ Church in Jonestown. As the National Minister of the Evangelical Association, I live in St. Louis, but I travel all over the country visiting with churches that are part of our fellowship, all the way from California to Maryland to New England and everywhere in between. And I want to take this opportunity just to bring greetings to all of you here at the Heart of Christ on behalf of all the churches and all the pastors and all of the board members who are part of the Evangelical Association. Some of you may know that the Heart of Christ Church, ever since it got started, has been part of the Evangelical Association. The day of your formation as a congregation, you immediately became part of the EA. And I want to thank you for your ongoing support of the ministry of the Evangelical Association, not only prayerfully, but also financially. Your church supports us financially. And through the work of your pastor, Rich Dubbs, who gives generously a huge amount of his time to the EA as our volunteer secretary. I always tell people that the EA is kind of a lean organization. We don't have a lot of staff. I'm the only staff person of the EA in St. Louis. Everybody else that helps me is a volunteer, including my volunteer secretary who lives in Pennsylvania, and my volunteer treasurer who lives in Illinois, and his assistant who lives in Michigan. Everybody's just kind of spread out all over the place. So I want to thank you for your willingness to be a part of the EA in such a major way. As we gather together today to celebrate this major milestone in your church's history, as you finally have a building that you're able to call your own, that you're now able to worship in week after week, what I want us to also do today is to be thinking about the Heart of Christ's mission and purpose, particularly now that you have a building, because it's going to change things a little bit. It won't change your mission and purpose, but it will change sometimes people's attitude about your mission and purpose. Because what I've often seen happen is when a church is new, like yours was a few years ago, and when you worship in a rented facility where you got to set up and break down every Sunday, there's sort of a sense of transiency amongst the congregation. It's like we don't really have a particular place that we call our own. And that can be a bad thing because obviously it causes a ton of work for the people that are having to do it every week. But it can also be a good thing because it can create a sense of urgency in a congregation. And what can happen, and you got to beware to make sure this doesn't happen to you now that you've got a building, is that when you have a building, certain things get easier. You don't have to do all that work every Sunday to set up and break down and all that sort of thing. But it can also cause a sense of complacency to set in. And you don't want that to happen, because if that happens, then your church will just begin to sort of coast and you won't necessarily be going anywhere. So now that you have a building, what I'd like you to be doing is thinking about what are we supposed to be doing as a church here in Jonestown in this new building that we have. And in order to do that, I'd like to take you back to something that happened in Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago. And as we consider this event from history, I think it will help us to better understand what God's vision is for his church as it moves into the future. And I think this is God's vision for all of his churches, all across the world, that they would mimic some of these things that we're going to see in this event that took place almost 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. The scene is a pool in Jerusalem called Bethesda. And if you've ever had the opportunity to visit the Holy Land, and of course nobody's going to be visiting there anytime soon, since they're in the middle of a war, but if you did have a chance ever to go to the Holy Land for a visit, they still have the ruins of this particular pool. I remember the one time I got to go to Israel, I actually saw the ruins and the sign that said this is where that pool was, the pool of Bethesda, where this all took place. And I want to read the scripture account of what happened at the pool of Bethesda. It's found in John chapter 5, John's Gospel, verses 1 through 9. It says this: "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked." May God bless this, the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Now, as we think about this miraculous healing that happened at the pool of Bethesda, as we think about the interaction that Jesus had with the people who were gathered at this pool, I think it's going to teach us a few things about what the church is supposed to be. You see, if you truly desire to have a scriptural vision for your church, you're going to need to make sure, whether you have a, didn't have a, when you didn't have a building and now that you do have a building, you need to be sure that the Heart of Christ Church is always a place where people will be able to come through those doors, and when they come through those doors, they need to be able to bring their pain with them. Look at verse 3 where John describes this pool of Bethesda. He says, here at this particular location, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Now think about this. If you were a tourist to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, when this pool still had water circulating in it, is this a destination you'd want to go to take pictures and selfies? Because imagine what it looked like 2,000 years ago. Yeah, it may have been a pretty little pool of water, but around it were all these messed up people laying around on pallets and trying to get into the water. People who were paralyzed, people who were lame, people probably had disfiguring illnesses, all kinds of things. It might have been like walking near a homeless camp. And yet Jesus went there. And he went to where the people who were in pain were gathered there, and Jesus went there. And in the modern day, when we churches have our buildings, we have to recognize that sometimes people who are in great pain are going to come into these, into our building. And we have to be willing to welcome them. Somebody tells a story about three guys who were sitting on an airplane, and one was a surgeon, the other was an engineer, and the third guy was a lawyer. And the three guys were having an argument. They were fighting over who was in the oldest profession. And the surgeon said, well, obviously I'm in the oldest profession because God used surgery to take a rib out of Adam and make Eve. And the engineer thought about it for just a second, and he said, no, I'm afraid I belong to the oldest profession because, you see, the whole universe was chaos. And God created order out of the chaos. That's engineering. And the lawyer listened to the two other guys, and then he smiled and he calmly said, and where do you think the chaos came from? My friends, we live in a messed up world. We live in a world that's got a lot of problems. Just turn on the news. And there are a lot of hurting people, both in the church and certainly outside of the church. And if a church is going to be faithful, then we have to be willing to accept the pain that is present in people's lives. This pool in Jerusalem was a place where sick people went in the hope that they could get well. It was a place that hurting people could come for healing. And if the heart of Christ is going to be Christ's church, you're going to have to be a place where people can come and bring their pain. The heart of Christ needs to be a place where hurting people can come looking for healing and where sick people can come looking to get well. One of the biggest misconceptions that a lot of non-believing people have these days is they think that the church is only for people who think they've got their act together. Can't tell you how many times I've talked to people who don't go to church, and one of the main reasons they don't go is because they think the church is only for good people. It's only for proper people. Or they think that the church is only filled with successful people, people who are kind of stuck up, and who think that they're kind of better than everybody else. But that can't be further from the truth. And if that is a characteristic of a church, then it has to change. The church that Jesus built is a church that's designed for people who've got problems and who want to bring those problems to God. The church of Jesus Christ is a hospital for sinners. It's not supposed to be a country club for saints. And yet sometimes what happens, particularly when you have a nice building, is it can become easy to make it just like a club for the insiders. In fact, one of the most important things I've learned in the ministry is that behind every ordered life, there is often a painful problem just waiting to come to the surface. And anybody who's lived a few years can probably testify to the truth of this. I remember I knew a young man. He was in one of my churches years ago, and his mother had died when he was just a teenager. You can imagine how hard that would be. You're a teenager and your mom dies. And his mom was a fairly young woman. I mean, she wasn't that old. She had a teenage boy. And she died a long, painful death from cancer. And from the moment that the mother got sick, this young man's brother and his father got angry. They got angry at God. They were mad at God because they blamed God for the fact that the mother and the wife had was sick. And they stopped coming to church. Both of them did. But this young man, he kind of took a different approach from his father and his brother. He instead, during all this trauma in his life, he continued to attend church. And he never seemed to be terribly upset about the loss of his mother. He didn't really make a big deal about it. In fact, this young man got very involved in all the activities of our congregation. He joined the church council. He would come to various Bible studies, and he became what most of us consider a model church member. You know, he's a young man in his early 20s. But then, all of the sudden, out of the blue, he just disappeared. Stopped coming to church, resigned from the church council, stopped showing up for any kind of church activities. And so I went to visit him, And when I went to visit him, I asked him what was going on, and he told me, basically, that he was still mad at God. He was mad and he was hurt and he was upset about his mother's death, even though several years had passed. You see, even though he seemed like he had his life all together, he was dealing with some real deep pain on the inside. Now, his father and brother, they had just showed it on the outside the moment the mother got sick. But this young man had just stuffed all his pain for years and never really dealt with the feelings that he had over his mother's death by bringing those feelings to the throne of God. And then all of a sudden, he exploded in a flood of pain and emotion. See, the simple truth is, if you live long enough, you're going to experience some kind of pain in your life. If you live long enough, somebody you love is going to die. If you live long enough, somebody is going to have money trouble. Somebody's going to get sick. Somebody's going to have relational difficulties, whatever. Sometimes the pain is visible, and sometimes the pain is invisible. But regardless of what kind of pain it is, any church that's really going to live up to Jesus' calling needs to be a church that's willing to accept that pain that is present in so many people's lives. The lives of people inside the church, the lives of people outside the church, and the lives of people who might eventually try to walk through the doors of the church. We can't just turn a blind eye and pretend that it doesn't exist. But, and this leads us to our second point, while the Heart of Christ Church needs to be a place that accepts people's pain, it also needs to be a place that offers them hope. If you look at verses 5 through 7 of our scripture passage, it says, one who was lying there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. You see, Jesus did go to the pool where the sick people and the hurting people were, but once he got there, he didn't just stand around and look at them. He didn't just stand around and say, oh, phew, what a shame. All you poor sick people. Instead, he offered them hope. The guy in our story had been hanging around this pool of mineral water for 38 years. Hoping that something would happen, that he would get a miracle. Nothing ever got accomplished till Jesus showed up. Do you want to be healed, the Son of God? Asked the sick man. And in those words, Jesus offered the man incredible hope. And as Christ's church, you and I, we've been entrusted with that same hope. That same message of hope that Jesus has to offer, and it's our job that we make sure it gets out to the people who need to hear it. Unfortunately, what some Christians like to do is they like to take all the joy and hope that Jesus offers, and they like to keep it tucked away. And when you have a church building, it's sometimes even easier to keep it tucked away inside the church building, where we only talk about it here inside the church when we're here in our building. But Jesus didn't operate that way. Jesus went out. Jesus didn't really have a building. He went out into the highways and byways where the sick people were, and he invited those who were hungry and hurting and sick to come to him, and then he offered them hope. You know, a lot of Christians, they get real shaky when they hear the word evangelism. They envision, oh, evangelism, that means you got to go out and you got to knock on strangers' doors. And you got to go up to people you've never met and tell them that if they don't accept Jesus, they're not going to go to heaven. But that isn't really what evangelism is about. Real evangelism is offering people hope. It's sharing the good news or the gospel that even in a world that can be really painful, Jesus offers us a different option. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Apostle Peter tells us this. He talks about what it really means to evangelize, and he says this. He says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the what? For the hope that you have in you. That's sharing your faith, is being ready to explain to people why you have so much hope in your life. That it comes from Jesus. Telling people about the hope that Jesus has placed within you is the root of evangelism, and it is, of course, the church's job. If the heart of Christ is going to be Christ's church, it must be a place which offers hope in a world where a lot of people are living their lives without much hope. The heart of Christ needs to be a place where people can come looking for light in the midst of darkness, knowing that when they get here, you won't be afraid to administer the power, which is our third point this morning. Verses 8 and 9, then Jesus said to the man, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured, he picked up his mat, and he walked. Most people that I know are smart enough to know you don't try to dry your hair without plugging in the hairdryer. Most people I know are smart enough to know you don't try to wash your clothes without plugging in the washing machine. Yet many Christians I know try to serve Jesus without plugging in to the power source, and many churches try to do ministry without connecting people to the only capable power source we have, who is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. If the heart of Christ is going to be Christ's church forging ahead in this community with your new building, then you, the people who are the heart of Christ's church, must maintain a good connection with God through His Holy Spirit. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus says this. He says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, Jesus gives his followers power of attorney. As his children, as children of the King, Jesus has given us his authority and his power. But the problem that a lot of Christians have is we're afraid to administer the power that Jesus has given us. We're afraid to take it seriously and to try to share it with other people. If you went to a hospital and you were doubled over in pain, how would you feel if the doctor came into the room and the doctor looked at you and said, I know exactly what your problem is. I've gone to 4 years of medical school, I've done my residency, I've worked in private practice, and I have diagnosed your problem precisely as to why you're doubled over in pain. In fact, not only have I diagnosed what's causing you to double over in pain, but I know exactly which drug will help alleviate your problem completely and permanently, and I have that drug right here in this syringe and in this needle, and if I give you this injection, you will be healed. You won't be in pain. And of course, by that moment, you'd be screaming, just give me the shot, doc. And then, what if the doctor paused and said, I'm sorry, I'm afraid to give injections. You're just going to have to suffer, sorry. Unfortunately, that's the way a lot of churches handle the medicine that God has given us to administer to the world. A lot of churches spend all their time talking about how good God is. They spend all their time analyzing how much power he has. They talk about how much power he has, but they refuse to administer his power to the people who need it, the people who are hurting and who are in pain. The vision I hope you will have for the Heart of Christ Church here in Jonestown, Pennsylvania, is that this church will be a church that isn't afraid to administer God's power in the world. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And we have the power to let the Holy Spirit work through us into the lives of other people. You, the people of the Heart of Christ Church, you are the body of Christ. That's the biblical terminology to describe who we are together as a church. Together as the Evangelical Association all across the country, we are the body of Christ along with every other true believing church on planet Earth. You are his arms, you are his legs, you are his hands, you are his feet. And Jesus calls you together as Christians here in your new facility to be his house of mercy. That's literally what the word Bethesda means. It means to be a house of mercy. And I think that's a good rule of thumb for every church. You know, you wonder why so many hospitals are called Bethesda. It's because that's what that word means. It means a house of mercy. A place where people can come to get healed, where people can come to find hope, where people can come to find life. As you continue your journey into the future, seek to make the Heart of Christ Church a church with a vision and a passionate commitment to be the instrument of God's mercy and God's hope and God's power here in Pennsylvania and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you thankful for this congregation and for the great blessing that you have given to them in helping them to find a building that they can now call their own. We pray, Lord, that this building would be not so much an edifice just to make them look good, but rather it would be more like a tent in a MASH unit designed to be an outpost where people can come and find hope and healing, and out of which the soldiers of Christ who call this church their home can march out into the world seeking to proclaim your gospel to the people around this community who need to hear it. Help them to be a light here in Jonestown and in this region of Pennsylvania. Help them to be a shining beacon on a hill, so that when people come here, they come and they say, this is a place where God truly dwells. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you, to praise you, and to celebrate this great gift of this new building. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.